that's a constant focus for us, is to continue to figure out how to maximize Kevin Durant. No one's done it yet. I believe we'll be the first team to do it, because if we can maximize him, we can maximize our entire roster. We're a better team.
James Jones said a constant focus for us is to continue to figure out and maximize Kevin Durant. No one has done it yet. I was baffled when I watched James Jones make this comment, because, and I get, like, you got to see the whole interview. Like, sometimes when we go down those rabbit holes, we go a little too far. James Jones was on a team in 2017 that lost in the NBA Finals to Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant averaged 35, 8 rebounds, and 5 assists on 55% from the field, 47 from 3, 93% shooting. And when you got your ass bust like the Cavs got their ass bust, I have a hard time believing that James Jones could then come out and say, no one has been able to maximize Kevin Durant.
James Jones' comments last week, Draymond Green following up over the weekend on his very own podcast. You know, you hear it all the time after a baseball game when a pitcher pitches a really good game but gives up a home run in a bad spot. And he's like, man, I just want that one pitch back.
Yeah.
I think James Jones probably wants that one statement back.
Yes, I totally agree with that, because it really has, he's really gone through the ringer because of it. It really is nonsensical. And I think, like you said, as somebody who's not prone to you know, always agree with Draymond Green, I think he's right. And his point was, look, Kevin Durant has already maxed you out of the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really don't understand what James Jones was trying to convey there. I really don't. It still doesn't make any sense to me.
No, and Draymond went on, too, and you know, on this subject.
When your team does not have plays to get Kevin Durant coming off a pin down, get Kevin Durant catching the ball at the elbow with a live dribble, getting Kevin Durant to the spots that Kevin Durant want to get to and like to score from, when your team is set up that way, I'm sorry, but you didn't maximize Kevin Durant. But don't say nobody has maximized Kevin Durant, because you've been on the wrong side of Kevin Durant being maximized.
Yeah, like...
It's hard to argue with any of that.
It's really hard to argue. And I know I've seen Suns fans try to argue with it. And just because it's Draymond Green, they dismiss it.
Yeah.
Look, Draymond is a clown in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
He's borderline psychotic on the basketball court.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows the game.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I agree with what he's saying, especially with Kevin Durant. And you know, minutes after the Suns get eliminated, the report comes out, Kevin Durant's not happy with the way he's used in the offense. They did not maximize Kevin Durant this year, and he still scored 27 points a game. And I wonder, Bick, going back to a topic that we already discussed today, but mm-hmm. he's going to still be floating around until we get some sort of clarification on it. Did James Jones forget about the nobody has maximized Kevin Durant? That came off as silly. But admitting that they didn't maximize Kevin Durant in the 23-24 season, is that an indication that they are not pleased with what Frank Vogel did on that front?
Yes, exactly. Listen, I think that would have been the appropriate thing to say. The appropriate thing to say would have been, we clearly have not maximized what we have here, including Kevin Durant. That's what you, because the statistics that he put forward are still very good, and his availability was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he was frustrated on Christmas Day. We heard that courtesy of Woj. He was frustrated after the season. He didn't like his usage in the offense. And, you know, how much do you bend to KD? A lot of people, I think, have correctly assumed that in a weird way, Draymond Green is sending out bat signals that come back and play with us.
Well, there were certainly people reading into that.
Mm-hmm.
It's only a problem if you have a solution, correct? Draymond Green offered a solution to the Phoenix Suns.
The Phoenix Suns didn't maximize Kevin Durant. And in large part, you didn't have a point guard. Guess what? Maximizing Kevin Durant requires you to get Kevin Durant to the spot that Kevin Durant likes to score from. And y'all didn't do that, because they thought that they could get it done without having a point guard. Didn't work. So I thought that was wild, because, yeah, you're right. No one has maximized Kevin Durant like the Golden State Warriors did. But I'm going to give James Jones a little word of advice. You want to maximize Kevin Durant, go get a point guard. You want to maximize Kevin Durant? Put him in positions to score. You want to maximize Kevin Durant? Take some of the other weight off his shoulders. But until you do that, you will be singing the same tune that nobody maximized Kevin Durant because y'all didn't.
I can't disagree with
that. Yeah, listen, he's right on the money on all of it. And again, I'm hoping that James, because I'm trying to wonder, okay, what would Kevin Durant think if he's like, say, in the south of France, and he's scrolling through Twitter and he saw that quote from James Jones? Would he take that as an insult? Would he? How would he read that? Would he be offended by that? Would he roll his eyes at that?
Or would he acknowledge, hey, this is what we talked about. This is why I'm frustrated, because this didn't happen. And Draymond said something very, very important in all of that.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be an either-or thought. All right, the Suns have been, and James Jones said it in that press conference again, we don't want to take the ball out of the hands of Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, and Devin Booker. Nobody is asking for that. The ball doesn't need to be in their hands for 24 seconds out of every possession. What Draymond said is so key. Why does Kevin Durant on so many possessions have to work his behind off to get to the spot where he wants to be?
Yes.
And then get his shot?
Yes.
When it could be easier in a different way.
That's where Chris Paul was so good, is setting people up exactly where they needed to be to score.
Mm-hmm.
But you said, like, throw out the whole part where he says nobody has maximized Kevin Durant. I don't think you can do that, because by including that, don't you think it takes some of the responsibility away from the Suns? Because if he just said that we need to figure out how to maximize Kevin Durant, he would say, like, okay, we didn't use him correctly.
Yeah.
But by saying nobody has used him, you're sort of saying that, like, well, it's not our fault. Nobody's figured out.
That's exactly right. And again, this is a common theme that we are seeing with this basketball team. The lack of accountability from the players, from everybody. Everyone seems terrified to call it what it is and what it's been.
But to Jarrett's point, if there is any shred of truth to that, and let's just go down this road and say, okay, James Jones said it, maybe there's a shred of truth to it. If that's the case, then it's a Kevin Durant issue. He's going into year 18. Again, I don't agree with what James Jones said. I do agree with Draymond Green that we've seen Kevin Durant maximized. I would even include his stint in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, he was an incredible player. So that and again, for a guy that played with LeBron James, it sounds dismissive of Kevin Durant.
I feel like
it sounds like you're painting him as an underachiever.
I wonder if we're all trying to figure out, what did James Jones mean by this? Mm-hmm. Maybe in his mind he was saying, Kevin Durant is such a unique, special player that even though he's had a fantastic career, we still haven't even maximized what his potential is. You know what I mean?
Like, but again,
But
if you look at the course of his history, he has been an MVP. He's been a Finals MVP.
He's been a regular
season
MVP.
You can't get any higher than that. That's the highest level of basketball. Finals,
I don't know, I'm trying
MVP.
To figure it out.
Yeah, again, it's just, and you'd like to think he misspoke, but he went out of his way to say, I don't think anybody has, and we're going to be the first. It's bizarre. It really, really is.
Yeah, I mean, the sands in that hourglass, most of them are on the bottom part.
Yeah, yeah. That's why, to me, with all due respect to Kevin Durant, who gave this team great availability, great offense, the cleanest path forward, to me, is if you trade Kevin Durant. Now, you've got to be able to do that in a way that keeps you competitive. Because if you trade KD, and then that's the domino that makes Devin Booker go, all right, I am out of here.
Yeah.
Because where do you get these other pieces this team needs? You look at the depth and you look at the way some of these teams are connected. Is there any way you see the Suns team that we just saw eliminated getting back in the top three, making a run at it next year? You'd have to really be drinking the Kool-Aid to say yes.
It's hard to see now. Is it impossible? I don't think so. But going down that trade front, are the Suns going to stand pat? Are they going to do something drastic? We'll get into those possibilities on a number of different players next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
it's Luke. What's going on with the Phoenix Suns, and why has it turned our morning show and our afternoon show against each other? We get going at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
Yes, they should break up the big three. They are a top-heavy team that doesn't have a bench, doesn't have toughness, doesn't have wing defenders. How are you going to get all that under the new CBA that is more restrictive when you are over the cap than it has ever been? You don't have a choice. You have all this money invested in three scorers, two of whom are really duplicative. Bradley Beal is an older, slightly lesser version of Devin Booker. So if you're going to compete against the Minnesotas and the Denver Nuggets and the Minnesota Rakers, Timberwolves, no. Like, you have to have size. You have to have toughness. I'm going to ignore that. You have to have a lot more than they have right now. And the only way you can do that is to move one of the pieces. And for me, it's, and Suns fans are not going to appreciate this because he's one of their own. He's been there for 9 seasons. Devin Booker is the guy that you move. Not because I blame him for what happened, but because he by far could bring me the most assets.
It's Rick Bucher last week on FS1. Rick's going to join us at 8:30 today with more of his thoughts on the Phoenix Suns and the offseason that awaits. Look, there's people that feel the way that Rick Bucher does. There's other people that are in the, at least from a personnel standpoint, run it back. And I you know, any emotion that I had, and I talked last week about the emotion that I felt right after the series was mostly relief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't tease us anymore. And the Suns, to their credit, they stopped teasing us.
Mm-hmm.
they got swept out of the playoffs. But now that that has kind of worn off, Bic, I am not in the blow it up camp. Not yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's another year left in this big three with or without Frank Vogel. And then you can explore things next year. And let's start with Kevin Durant.
So you think you would be okay with bringing back the big three and Frank Vogel?
That's kind of a loaded. I expected them to make a coaching change.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a fair way to say it?
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
And I don't think, you know, if there's fire to that smoke that came out in that athletic report, bringing back Frank Vogel doesn't make sense to me. Because I don't think that gets better in year two.
Right.
I think that deteriorates if that's the starting point. But you said something earlier in the show about, is this the last chance to cash in, to trade Kevin Durant? I don't think it is. And that you look at the way the contract is structured, he's got 2 years left on his deal. I don't think, obviously, age is a factor. Kevin Durant's 36. He'll be 37 at this time next year. But if they run it back and they fall short again, how many teams are going to line up for 1 year of Kevin Durant at $54 million? Is that what the number is?
Yeah, that, probably.
That number coming off the books the year after that would be very attractive to a lot of teams, in my opinion.
Okay. Yeah, again, but what I'm looking at is more to the point of what would make you think that another year would be any different? Because if you ask if there's fire behind the smoke in that athletic piece, of course there is. We watched it with our very eyes. We did not see a connected basketball team that was busting ass on both ends of the court. We saw a basketball team that people began to hate watch in the Valley. And those are the facts.
That is true.
And so I don't know how you can just say, yep, bring it back, let's go. Because the fans here, I don't know how you could sell that with a straight face. Which is why the Matt Ishbia optimism was so tone deaf the last week. And over the weekend, I thought, okay, maybe the reason he was selling that so hard as things are great in Phoenix is that their only chance out of this is to sign another batch of free agents or players on the idea that, okay, let's go there because that's a great place to work.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a great culture over there.
The last 2 years, especially last summer, they had to because of the roster construction. On these minimum contracts, I mean, aren't the odds with them for a third offseason to finally get some of them right? They haven't hit on any of those guys, quite honestly.
To me, it's one or the other. There's no way that I look at this team and what I saw last year and think in any way, shape, or form you can run this back with the same coach and the same big three. To me, that's counterintuitive, and it runs contradictory to everything we just witnessed.
I agree with that. So are you okay with the big three coming back with, you know, role players around them with a different coach?
Absolutely. Because then I can buy into the idea that maybe this group just needs a different leader, because that's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, and that way you've got 1 year of proof one way and another year of proof the second way, and if it doesn't work either way, then your choice is clear next summer.
Yeah.
Then you blow it up.
Because if the attitudinal issues of this basketball team, there's that word for a third time, if they're a part of what we've witnessed, and I don't know how anyone could argue otherwise, when you see teams that are connected, when you see teams that really believe in what they're doing and what the coach is saying and what the coach is, you know, sending it and all that stuff, it shows. And if Kevin Durant isn't happy about this, that, or the third, if he isn't happy about playing the four or the offense or this or that, then you need to fix that if you're going to run it back with these three. But what does Book think about this? Because he seemed detached all year long too.
He did, but we don't have any concrete proof of that. He's never said anything that indicates that he's not happy.
He never does. He's very cryptic on social media.
He is.
So yeah, no. Listen, and again, I'm not trying to claim Devin Booker is unhappy. I'm just trying to say that it is a possibility that way too many Suns fans do not want to look in the face.
And look, we've had examples in recent basketball history. Damian Lillard, for years, every year the Portland Trailblazers fell short, he'd have to come out and say, "Oh, I want to end my career. I'm very happy here. Very happy." That has a shelf life. It had a shelf life. He finally got to the point where he's out. I don't know if Devin Booker's to that point. To Rick Bucher's point, from a basketball roster construction into the future standpoint, what he's saying makes sense. Devin Booker, he's the trade chip that could reset the franchise. But don't go all in on this roster.
No.
In 1 year with very little in terms of a backup plan and then blow it up after.
I'm also pretty sure if you trade Devin Booker, you then also have to trade Kevin Durant.
Yes.
Because Kevin Durant will not be happy being here without Devin Booker.
And again, I don't think anybody who knows the Suns thinks that trading Devin Booker is an option. It's only if he demands out.
Yes.
That's it.
But
I don't think in a million years this owner is not going to be the guy that traded Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson and never heard the end of it, and then as a solution went and traded the most popular player in franchise history.
But how damaging would it be? I mean, you traded so many draft picks to do what you did, and you set the franchise back from that standpoint. There's no doubting that, and I'm not criticizing it because I was on board with that trade. But right now, if you traded one of the big three, they're not interested right now in getting draft picks back. That's a year off. If they run this back with those three players, then next year you can explore maybe recouping some of those draft picks that you gave away to build. Because right now, if you trade one of those big three, you're getting players back.
But again,
and that doesn't really help you in the long run either.
But the thing with KD, what are the odds that KD puts up a better statistical season when you combine availability next season?
I mean, the odds are not good.
Not good. And what are the odds that he might have an injury that keeps him between 35 and 45 games played? So then I think you have to wonder about the value as well. Now, an expiring contract, you're right. But I do think that I just think this team is in limbo because they don't know what their stars are thinking. And I may be wrong about that, but if they did know what their stars were thinking, I think there'd be some clarity to this issue.
And maybe they know, but we sure don't.
Yeah.
Been very hush-hush on that front.
Right.
Coming up next, Jarrett will take us through the big stories on this Monday morning in the Rush Hour reboot. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
I'm Fred Khalil in for Sarah with the latest, brought to you by Parker & Sons. Heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical. After scoring just 16 runs in their previous nine games, the Diamondbacks broke out of it in a big way Sunday, putting up crooked numbers in three of their first four innings, scoring 11 runs and crushing the Padres on getaway day 11-4. Starter Ryan Nelson came off the injured list and got the win. It's on to Cincinnati to face the Reds on Tuesday. Alec Thomas and closer Paul Sewald are expected to be activated. NBA playoffs now in the West. Game two of the Nuggets T-Wolves is tonight. On Saturday, the Ant-Man went into Denver and made sure it was no picnic for the defending NBA champion Nuggets. Anthony Edwards scored a career and franchise playoff high 43 points as the T-Wolves took game one 106-99. Game two is tonight. In the East, Donovan Mitchell scored 39 to lead the Cavs past Orlando 106-94. Cleveland now meets Boston. The Knicks and Pacers open their series tonight in New York. And the Dallas Stars eliminated the defending Stanley Cup champion Las Vegas Golden Knights, beating Vegas in game seven 2-1. Dallas now faces Colorado in the second round. The latest is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. This May, visit Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers locations to purchase a special menu item, and $1 will benefit the Ivy Brain Tumor Center. You dine, they donate.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Billy and Baratta Mornings. Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. Arizona built for America's dreams.
All right. Look, I don't like it. You don't like it. We'll get through it together. Okay, guys?
Right.
Sarah Cazell on assignment, of course, today. So I'm filling in on the Rush Hour Reboot. We'll go through the top stories of the day from sound and reaction and all that fun stuff. We'll start with the Phoenix Suns. Still reaction to the end of season press conference, exit interview, whatever you would call it, with James Jones and owner Matt Ishbia. On the Craig Carton show, he was joined with Tim Hardaway here in this soundbite, and he had some strong reaction to Matt Ishbia's job as owner this year and his comments.
That guy's a clown, all right? The guy's just trying hard to be Dan Gilbert. Well, is all he's trying to do, same business, and not as successful, of course. But the Phoenix Suns, I'm sorry I have to do this, but...
No, I wouldn't say he's a... Before you do that, I wouldn't say he's a clown.
He's a clown.
He sounds just like Jerry Jones to me, saying the same... He's trying to
clown.
Calm down okay, his fans.
I hate to do this, Tim.
Make it seem like they don't
Tim.
Understand what's going on.
Tim.
But he sounds like Jerry Jones
to me. He sounds like a clown.
So I think he thinks he sounds like a clown.
So what's he trying to say?
Yeah, he's trying to say. What do you think Matt Ishbia needs to do this offseason or next season to sort of restore his image with the league and with Suns fans?
Yeah, what I think needs to happen is I think there's just the actions and the corrections you make with the basketball team, they need to be more in touch with reality than the words happen to be. And again, I spent some time thinking about this over the weekend because Matt Ishbia is obviously a very, very smart man, right?
Yes.
And so in that respect, I think you have to say, okay, why was there just the endless positivity to the point of absurdity? And you wonder if it isn't just trying to protect this organization's reputation as they try to kind of get their arms around some real heavy issues. I think the more and more I think about it, I just think there's uncertainty about what two of their top three players want to do from this point going forward. So that's I object to that. I think that the press conference was tone deaf. I think Matt, when he gets the mic in his hands in an official setting, talks a million miles an hour and needs to cover a whole bunch of things in almost every breath. And I don't think it's always the greatest look. He's not like that when you talk to him one-on-one. But you give him put him in a press conference setting, and he's a million miles an hour. And I'm not sure the presentation helps either. So, I still have faith in this. The fact that he is undaunted about spending, I think we really need to focus on that. Let's just hope, though, that they can solve this basketball issue, because being resistant to the idea of a point guard seems a little daffy to me at this point.
Yeah, I think Vic's right on the money. I mean, I was going to suggest, you asked what can he do to restore the faith of the Suns fans, and I was going to say get a time machine and make last Wednesday not happen. That's not possible. Identifying what happened and fixing those issues. I don't think throwing more money at this situation right now as currently constructed is the answer. Matt Ishbia, that's the way he's operated as an NBA owner. I don't think that's necessarily the path to go down this summer. This is about fixing what you have. And then if you need to, next year, if we're talking about a two-year experiment gone awry, then next year my tone's going to be completely different. Then I'm certainly of the blow-it-up mentality.
All right, more reaction to that press conference from Draymond Green reacting to the KD hasn't been maximized comment.
James Jones said a constant focus for us is to continue to figure out and maximize Kevin Durant. No one has done it yet. I was baffled when I watched James Jones make this comment because I get, like, you got to see the whole interview. Like, sometimes when we go down those rabbit holes, we go a little too far.
Do you think Kevin Durant would have a better chance at winning perhaps a championship if he stayed on the Suns or if he went to the Warriors?
Oh, wow.
He might be a better fit in Golden State at this point in time, to be honest with you, but I think it's a crapshoot either way. I think it's a roll of the dice either way.
I mean, how long has he been gone from Golden State? I mean, they're only 2 years.
I think two years
removed from their last championship, but since that championship, they haven't looked anything like a championship team.
Right.
Even that championship felt like a last gasp championship to me.
I didn't expect it. I thought they were done when Durant left town. So credit to the Warriors. Mm-hmm. But I'll give the Suns a slight edge, I guess. I mean, that's a really tough question.
Okay.
I mean, I don't necessarily think the Suns are close. They proved they weren't close this past year. But, yeah, I mean, it might be a dead heat, quite honestly.
That's tough. All right, finally, the Diamondbacks continuing their weird pattern of struggling, and then exploding with offense. But one person who is still not doing that great, he did have two hits, but they were two singles. Corbin Carroll, who I believe has four extra base hits. Not in the series, not in the game. This entire season has four extra base hits. He talked about what's wrong with his swing and how he's trying to snap out of everything.
I snapped out of that funk last August by swinging at everything. So it doesn't feel like the answer this time, to be honest. Like, just, there've been some mechanical things that, you know, I've been trying to address, and I feel like we're headed in the right direction, and our coaches feel like we're headed in the right direction. I made my swing too flat, so it's been a lot of work to try and create
you only really do it once, and then people know.
Better attacking goals and better vertical batting.
Concern level on Corbin Carroll.
Listen. I don't know how to put this. I do think that I do buy into the fact that he's talking about flattening out his swing, and I think that's happening because pitchers are pounding him high and tight, high and inside, and he can't lay off, and it's hard to keep a swing plane when you're going at pitches chest to shoulder high. I hope he gets it going because I do think that's one of a few things here that needs to get plugged in to give this baseball team its edge. How do I feel about it? I don't know. There's not much track record with Corbin Carroll.
No, my concern level, if you would have asked me this last Monday, it would have been probably at a 9 on a scale of 1 to 10. It's probably at about a 6.5 now.
He's Carroll-mometer.
See, the Carroll-mometer. The Suns-mometer really took off. Over the last week, he's hitting .273. He's starting to hit the ball a little bit harder. The lack of extra base hits, to your point, Jared, is alarming. Four extra base hits to this point. He had his first RBIs yesterday since April 15th, so it looks like it's coming around, and I know they have a whole team of people trying to figure out what's going on with Corbin Carroll.
There you go. So you've been rebooted.
We've been
not bad, Jarrett.
Okay, thank you.
No, good. You lowered the bar at the beginning, and we managed to get over it.
That's right. If you lower the bar, even if Phil Mickelson jumping level,
right?
Can get
exactly.
Over it.
Coming up next, more on the subject of maximizing Kevin Durant, and I'll give you proof of how little of a life I actually have. All coming up next, it's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, it's Wolf. What's worse, all of these D-backs injuries, the Suns getting swept out of the first round, or a Jared Carlin song parody? We get going at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
We're trying to make the risky play sometimes, cross-court passes, get their hands on it. There's going to be a lot of pressure on us at all times. So they looking to get steals. They're number one team and create turnovers in the league, so gotta be better.
That was Kevin Durant back on March 3rd talking about the turnover issue, which was a season-long issue for himself and for the Phoenix Suns. That was after a loss to the Oklahoma City Thunder, 118-110. By the way, the whole station just taking shots at each other.
Now. Yeah. Look ahead. It's, I'm good with it, man. I like it. I like that smoke.
I can't wait to hear your look ahead today.
I'm going to start thinking, who do I want to attack today?
We're coming for you, Bernsey.
Bernsey,
what's going on? This is how little of a life I have. I don't know why it struck me after I watched the Draymond Green podcast. I watched it yesterday morning. I just went down this rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. And how much time did we spend talking about turnovers and how they plagued the Phoenix Suns this year?
A lot
of time. And maybe it seems like I'm picking on Kevin Durant by giving you this data. But that's where I started. He led the team with 244 turnovers this year. And I wanted to see how they broke down, how the turnovers actually broke down. And it's not shocking. You won't be shocked when I tell you that 123 of his 244 turnovers were coming from him passing the basketball.
Oof.
Passing, just having a pass stolen,
mm-hmm.
or a pass going out of bounds. 97 Kevin Durant passes were stolen this year. 26 of them went out of bounds. He lost the ball 43 times just getting his pocket picked on a dribble. Dribbled off his leg 12 times. I broke it down into, I think there's like 13 different categories. So this goes back to the point of what James Jones suggested, what Draymond Green ranted on in his own podcast mm-hmm. about maximizing Kevin Durant. And for me, and this data, and anybody who watched the Suns play this year and pulled their hair out after a cross-court pass turnover, what I want to see is the ball out of Kevin Durant's hands earlier. And not all the time, but there was so many possessions where it was Kevin Durant for, you know, bringing the ball up and initiating the offense and maybe initiating offense for himself. He is one of the best scorers we have ever seen. And anything that makes it easier for him to score, I am all for. And to me, what Draymond Green suggested about the point guard situation not only cuts down on the turnover issue,
mm-hmm.
but gets Kevin Durant in places to score without him having to do it on his own with the basketball in his hand.
Yeah, I think we are all looking at the same thing, but then you do the dynamics. Look, you can find a point guard. He might not be a great point guard, but you can find somebody to control the basketball and distribute the basketball. But it's not going to be an elite level point guard because the Suns don't have the capital for that.
True.
So now you're talking about bringing in a piece that's going to be a facilitator. So that might be a minus position for you in defense or in other categories just to unlock these big three. But then what does it do to the starting lineup? If you bring in a point guard, you certainly cannot start Bradley Beal, Devin Booker in a point guard. You're going to be way too small. You're not going to be good enough defensively. You're already missing that long, lanky wing defender. And if reports are true, KD isn't in love with playing the four. Now, I don't know where else he can play. But as you pointed out, can you put Bradley Beal on the bench? I don't know about that.
I was thinking about that over the weekend, too.
There are reports right now that Russell Westbrook got a lot of compliments for voluntarily going to the bench for Ty Lue. Apparently, he wouldn't like it one bit. Bradley, nobody would like it. Any established NBA star who's been in the 30-point-per-game mode before is going to enjoy that. So what do you do? This is why people get concerned about this team.
I brought up the point last week. Look, Grayson Allen, ideally, is a bench player.
Mm-hmm.
He was fantastic this year. He was dependable. He was available until the playoffs. But he was a guy that you could count on to kickstart your offense. They didn't have anybody doing that from a bench standpoint. Look at the teams that, you know, look at Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Naz Reid coming off the bench. You can count on him for offense. Malik Monk in Sacramento, you can count on him for offense. Yesterday, Cleveland, the game gets turned around in part because they could count on Caris LeVert's offense off the bench. The Suns, I mean, we talked about that a lot too, the bench scoring. Now, is Bradley Beal, I mean, does it make sense to put a $54 million player on the bench? No, it doesn't. But very little about this iteration of the Phoenix Suns makes sense to a lot of people.
And this is also why you cannot blow this up, because Bradley Beal has got a trade clause. So your ability to do a hard reset, and nobody is asking for that. Nobody wants that. I don't want that. I want the cleanest solution that puts this team in position to win a playoff series next year, maybe two. Because as of right now, folks, our basketball team was incapable of winning a single playoff game. And you've got to look that in the face, because that's significant. That means you're miles away.
And it certainly seems the result would indicate miles away is the reality. And that's, again, one of the puzzling, you know, takeaways from Matt Ishbia's comments. Matt Ishbia endeared himself to this fan base, a large part of the fan base, by not sitting idly by being aggressive in pursuit of a championship. So the tone of that press conference wasn't consistent with how he has conducted himself as an NBA owner in 15 months.
Mm-hmm.
That's why people are like throwing their hands up. I was out and about this weekend. I got to tell you how many times people started a conversation with me by, so is Booker gone? Is he going to New York?
It's everybody's fear, Vinny. and listen, and again, I'm not saying that this is going to happen, but I am saying that this is something people need to be a little apprehensive about. And again, I was told last weekend by a New York source of mine that watch out for World Wide West. Now, that might mean nothing. Might mean nothing at all, because this is all going to get down to what these players want. Brian Windhorst just reported that Kevin Durant might be waiting to find out what the Suns are doing about their head coach. Meaning, okay, bring me a different head coach, I'll gladly be back. So there's just, we're in limbo right now, and it's very uncomfortable. And there's a portion of the fan base that's got their head in the sand. Oh, shut up. Quit talking. Don't bring Rick Bucher on the radio. You're making things worse.
I mean, just disagree. You can disagree with Rick Bucher. I don't agree with Rick Bucher. He's still coming on the show.
Look,
because what he says, again, from a basketball standpoint, if you don't think this is going to work, what he suggested makes a lot of sense.
I would love and I want to believe that Devin Booker is cool with Frank Vogel. He's cool with anything and everybody. And I want him, and I want to believe the people who insist that Devin Booker is like Larry Fitzgerald and Shane Doan. He realizes how valuable one player, one market can be to someone's legacy. I want to believe that with all my heart.
I do.
But my eyes tell me to be on guard that this might be the time when Devin Booker begins to think differently. Yeah. But I think the reality of it is it's the KD piece. Because I think if there was an unhappiness, it probably comes from him, because we've already heard tangible reasons why. If somebody says to you, Devin Booker seemed detached this year, you'd go, yeah, you're right, he did. We have to be honest. Yeah, he did. Why? I don't know. If somebody said Kevin Durant looked unhappy, yeah, he did. Why? We've got examples. May not wanted to play the four, didn't like his role in the offense. So it's you hope this basketball team can get this thing figured out, because we are really at a crossroads right now.
We really are. In this breakdown, Vic, I found this. Maybe the most frustrating turnover of all for any basketball fan is when a player just simply steps out of bounds. Didn't it seem like that happened 200 times itself to Kevin Durant?
I think you brought it up like about 2 weeks ago, and then every game afterwards for like 10 straight games it happened.
Mm-hmm.
The requisite standing on the...
He only had 8 of those. And as many traveling violations as stepping out of bounds.
I'd like to see where the 97 passes stolen ranks across the NBA.
Give me about a year and I can have I'm sure the data
you might
out there.
You might not have a life by then. You might have the time to do it.
I don't have one now.
According to Gambo, you might be fired by then. Who knows?
Does Gambo know something I don't know?
I don't know. I highly doubt that.
He does have inside sources.
Oh, you mean about that stuff? I thought you meant in general.
Coming up next, 8 o'clock on a Monday morning. You're going to get blasted. Bick's got it next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.